Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, your Royals insider. I thought it was great last night, Vern, as I'm driving home from the game, and I hear a guy say, I'd like to see this guy pinch hit. And you say, who? He says, well, I don't know, man. I was guzzling beers.
Hey, Vern, happy birthday, by the way, before we get started.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday
to
Vinny Pasquantino.
Happy birthday to
you. What year were you born?
Oh, gosh.
1983.
Okay, so this day in 1980, Pac-Man was released in the video arcade. Did you know you and Pac-Man's video arcade game share the same birthday?
No, but I could sense it.
Okay, good.
Wow.
My wife's really good at Pac-Man. It's strange. I'm not that good, and she's not even a video game player, and she crushes Pac-Man.
So wait, it was her birthday yesterday, your birthday today. Yeah. Friday you got off, so birthday night?
Well, I might not be. If they win tonight, I'm on with you guys, I think, tomorrow.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, well, you're on with us tomorrow, regardless
win
of what
lose,
happens
you're here, buddy.
Win or lose, we've earned.
Hey, I appreciate it. I'm glad that the boys are still alive. I'm glad that we had a reasonable post-game show last night. There were a few goofballs, not talking about the dude that was knocking back cold ones. But all in all, I think everyone geared up with the proper amount of anxiety for this one tonight.
Well, last night was anxiety-ridden, man. Like, we didn't sit the entire time in the stadium. Everybody's going crazy. You're living it. Like, I couldn't even eat my whole pretzel. That's because my wife stepped on it halfway through I don't know that
I didn't think anything came between you and your pretzels.
Usually it doesn't, right? Except her foot, and I'm very disappointed. But I don't know that I would have finished. Like, my stomach all night, Vern, was just in knots. It's so great to have postseason baseball back,
right? Yeah, it's interesting
right?
you say that. Yeah, throughout the day yesterday, I'm like, man, I haven't had a good meal yet. I kind of skipped over breakfast, had a little something for lunch, and, you know, the game's in the fifth inning. I'm like, I thought I would be hungry or I'd have a headache by now, but, yeah, I think I'm with you. I really didn't realize it until about 5 minutes ago, but did not eat like an adult yesterday, just so focused and ready to consume baseball.
Yeah.
And listen, man, it was a great game. I know the Royals didn't come out on top, but it was a fantastic ball game.
I mean, that was a postseason game in a nutshell, man. Like, if you talk postseason, this whole series has been postseason games. I know, like, we were spoiled in 14 and 15, barely faced an elimination game in either year. Right. And here we are, you know, in an elimination game. We're kind of like, we don't know how to handle ourselves, you know?
11-11 this series so far. Each team has scored 11 runs, and I think that's how close it's been. Now, through three games, I think the 2-1 Yankees advantage has reflected the play on the field. Last night was one of those games where it's easy to turn the page until you realize there's only one page left. There's no more pages to turn. So that makes it a little bit more difficult, and I understand some when you're in that situation and now with your back against the wall, you're looking to blame individuals. And, you know, last night there were certain people that disappointed, but I'm not going to lay the loss at the feet of Bubich or Lugo or MJ or Vinny or Yuli. All five of them had an opportunity to make that big play to extend the game, and all five of them fell just short.
Vern, I want to ask you this because I think I've seen two different teams on both sides of the diamond from when they played in the regular season to where they've been playing now in the postseason. Like you just had mentioned, 11-11. And in the regular season, it kind of seemed like the Yankees had the dominating hand. I know there was that Lugo start where they won 5-0, but other than that, it wasn't really a close series. This series, I know the playoffs amp everything up, tensions are high, but it seems like a different Royals team that maybe isn't afraid of the New York label on the front of the jersey or the NY on the home jerseys.
Well, I would pause to say that they were ever afraid of that jersey or that stadium or those pinstripes. You look at the season series between these two teams, especially that set at Kauffman Stadium, and to me, that was not the 2024 Royals. In that stretch where Michael Wacha was on the IL, that's not the team that we're going to watch tonight. The team that we're going to watch tonight has been led by, as you know, pitching, defense, team speed, and some of the most clutch bats in the game. When the Yankees came to town, you know, Dan Altavilla got a start. Alec Marsh saved the day. Daniel Lynch picked up a lot of innings. You know, Dan Altavilla is buying a ticket to the game tonight. Daniel Lynch is still yet to see a game. So I don't know how much the season series really tells the story of these two teams. Now, what the season does tell, and we all agreed upon it over the course of the regular season, is that New York Yankees are pretty good. You know, for as detestable as the logo is, they played their tails off, you know. Clark Schmidt balled last night. He was outstanding. Yeah. And, you know, Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, and you can even make a case, Giancarlo Stanton. These guys are all future Hall of Famers, and they all put together pretty quality at-bats last night, especially Stanton and Soto. Stanton and Soto have really been the stars of this series throughout.
Vern, this is where you get mad at me, okay? So I just want to let you know ahead of time.
Sure.
Okay. I had
played the umpires.
Yeah, no, I'm not. You know me. Come on. You know me longer than that.
I don't know. You said I'm about to get mad at you.
I know, because I'm going to bring up something that I feel like the text line always brings up, but I actually have a response to it. Okay. I think tonight, being an elimination game, is one of those nights where maybe you give Vinny a day. And the reason I say that is because the guy's hitting 106 in the playoffs so far. I know he had the game in Baltimore. I know he's a big rah-rah guy. He's a big team guy. He's been there all year. I know he's been injured. But it just seems, I know there's been a couple plays where maybe he just
he's still injured.
Yeah,
he's still hurt.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's still hurt. Yeah. And I think he'd be more valuable.
That's the reason why you take him out.
Correct.
It's no longer just barking. It's now biting.
Yes. And I think that this is a day where it's an elimination game. So maybe if you do win, he gets essentially 2 days off to rest it a little bit, kind of let it heal a little bit more than if that's even a thing. But 106 in the playoffs, he's hitting third in the lineup. Maybe move Sal up, let Freddie Fermin get a bat in, mix it up somewhere in there. I'd like to see Freddie get a chance. Again, win or go home in this game. And I think that Vinny's more valuable at this point in the season as a guy in the dugout and a guy off the bench than he is getting out there every day hitting third in this lineup. That's my take. You can hit me hard if you want, or you can say I'm right.
Oh, I'm going to hit you hard. No, I have no issue with that. If Vinny's not in the lineup, that doesn't tell me that Quatrero and this coaching staff have said, all right, that's enough. 0-for-12 with a walk in this series. We can't deal with it anymore. Vinny, go sit down. If Vinny's not in the lineup, that just means that it's abundantly clear to everyone, most notably the training staff, that, again, that thumb is no longer barking, which you know it has in every single at-bat since he returned. That thing is agonizing. But if he's not in the lineup, that tells me that it's gone to another level, and it is, as you're mentioning, affecting his swing and causing him issues at the plate. Yeah, listen, I'm very pro Freddie Fermin. That was one of my favorite moments of the game last night, is when they introduced Fermin and the crowd went nuts.
Yeah, the crowd went great for him, right?
That was great. Yeah. Him and Blanco deserve that, man. They've been through so much in their professional careers, in their lives. To get that moment last night was nice. So, yeah, to see Freddie behind the dish, Salvi at first, Yuli at DH, I wouldn't be against it. But if Vinny's out there today hitting third against the right-hander Garrett Cole, a guy that he touched up in his first at-bat, as everybody touched up Garrett Cole going back to game one, where they all touched him up in that first inning. If Vinny's in there in the three spot, then I'm with it, right? I mean, he's still more of a threat from the left side, right? You look at yesterday's game, he still squared up a few balls, put a charge into a couple that ended up in center field. Yeah, listen, if the guy's grinding too much and it's now at the detriment of the team, of course I can't argue that he needs a day off or needs the rest of the series off. Who knows? But if he's back in there in the three spot today, that's the message from the organization telling you that the threat that Vinny Pasquantino brings and the thumb injury is maybe not the reason why he's 0-for-12. Had a big spot last night, man on third with two outs. That's something that he comes through more times than not, or at least certainly at a higher clip than the rest of Major League Baseball. Disappointing to see him come up just short of that fly ball to center field, but we'll see. We'll see what that lineup looks like later today. And either way, Vinny Pasquantino will forever have the respect of everybody inside that clubhouse.
No doubt. No doubt. But he is 0-for-6 in his career again. against Gerrit Cole. And meanwhile, you got Tommy Pham with a great sample size, 13 for 36. Like, you got to get Tommy Pham in the lineup tonight, right?
Yeah, yeah, he'll be in there. He was there for Monday's game one, went 1-for-2, 1-for-1 with a sac fly against Gerrit Cole. Yeah, I would expect Tommy to be in there in left. Hunter Renfro in, MJ in left and Tommy Pham in right, excuse me.
Okay, so MJ, who has a great sample size too, 4-of-8 against Gerrit Cole, so you like to see him in the line. But another guy, Adam Frazier, hitting .357 off of Gerrit Cole too. Do you see him in the lineup tonight?
I don't, because again, and this to go back to Dusty's point, it begins with Vinny Pasquantino, because then I guess you could put Frazier in as your designated hitter, not like Yuli too much. Yuli got a pair of walks against Gerrit Cole back last Saturday. Tommy Pham, MJ Melendez, honestly, I think the lineup's going to look exactly the same as it did in game one. Massey, Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, Yuli, MJ, Tommy, Izzy, Michael.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I don't know if this is logical or not. Maybe it is. Like, if it gets dicey, are you going to say, okay, Cole Reagans, get out here? Like, is tonight all hands on deck except Cole Reagans? Is tonight all hands on deck including Cole Reagans? How do you see that?
Cole Reagans, yes, it's all hands on deck, but Monday he pitched. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 2 days rest. Yeah, he could come out of the bullpen and give you in. You know, if this game's tied up like last night and, you know, Bubic doesn't triple up on sliders and throw back-to-back sliders in the same spot to Giancarlo Stanton, if this game's still tied going into the ninth inning, listen.
Yeah.
You have no tomorrow, of course. Everybody's right. Available. I know Cole Reagans woke up expecting to get the ball at some point tonight. I wouldn't expect it early, but this would likely be his bullpen day, so he's going to throw an inning plus anyway. Why not make that a meaningful inning plus?
Over. All right. Here's, you mentioned extra innings potentially and all that kind of stuff. Here's how I'm solving extra innings in baseball going forward. It is going to be coaching staff v. coaching staff and slow pitch softball. That's how we're going to go to extra innings in baseball now.
You in the playoffs?
That? No, altogether.
I don't want to see that.
Altogether.
I mean, I would like to see it. I don't know if I want the game decided by it. Q hits a good ground ball. I feel like the Royals would get smoked in that, to be quite honest with you.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron Boone hit one of the biggest October home runs of all time.
Yep.
I mean, they would handle Brandon Hyde. I'm not worried about big old Brandon Hyde. A.J. Hinch would be an interesting matchup. Him and Q, I think, are very similar.
Yeah.
Steven Vogt's fresh off the field, so I think he would dominate. Yeah, it's an idea. I think it's a great idea for extra innings in spring training. That, to me, would bring people to the ballpark.
Vern, over under cups of coffee today?
6.5.
Okay.
You going over?
I'm going over.
Probably. It's normally like 2 in the morning and then just IVs of coffee during the game.
Man. All right, Vern, I'll see you a little bit later on tonight around about 4:30 or so before you get on your on-deck show at 6 o'clock tonight on 96.5 The Fan.
All right, buddy, thank you.
Love you. Happy birthday to Vern, and happy birthday to Kansas City as well, because you get one more playoff game against the Yankees. Coming up on the other side, it's not Vern, it's Alex Gold. We get into your Goldilocks heading into the weekend. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan. Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good.
You're traveling with the driving crooner, baby. Today at 2 p.m., don't forget, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon from 96.5 The Fan are giving away 100 playoff-themed T-shirts in our station's parking lot. 2 p.m., 7,000 Squibb Road. Thanks
We're
to our friends 7, at DM.
7,000 T-shirts?
Thanks to our friends at DM Injury Law.
That shirt's very fitting today, isn't it? I mean, if there was a, you know, we didn't come this far just to come this far. I mean, here we are. Right. It's brink of elimination tonight. That, yeah. It's all about that shirt today.
It is. But before you do that, come see me at Hy-Vee from 11 to 1 in Mission right here on Mart Way. We got steak dinner day all day long. We got $10 steak, mashed potatoes, and green beans for you. Get that 8-ounce strip. You get the steak. You get the potatoes. You get the green beans. You're going to eat like a king today. So stop by Hy-Vee and see me. And it's also, I know, Alex, for you, Thirsty Thursday.
There we go.
You can buy all of your drinks on the Missouri side, right? For every $50 you spend on your wine, your alcohol, your beer, and all that kind of stuff, you get 50 cents off a gallon of gas. So for every $50, you get a 50 cent fuel saver discount at Hy-Vee as well. It's awesome, baby. Awesome.
Wine, dine, and now it's time for Alex Gold's Goldilocks. Before we get in there, over under a guys that Big Lou tells to get the hell out of the way.
Big Lou is our guy yesterday.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you. Bob about Big
Security
Lou,
guy. Yeah, he's got three wives, too.
He
right?
does, yeah. And he wasn't messing around last night. He was making sure people were not standing in front of the media, you know? He did a great job. He was doing his job well.
Okay, so crowd last night, I thought was awesome. You know, we were out in left field. You guys were in right. It was. I thought it was great. The nervous energy, everybody's tensed up for this game and whatnot, and that kind of leads us into today's. The Royals are a considerable underdog, I guess. I saw plus 132 this morning. Yep. Yesterday, I told Dusty this yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I have the text to prove it.
Okay. And I said, boy, the Royals are now, you know, even money. I said, I don't like that. They were the favorite. Like when I woke up, I always look 4 a.m. They were like plus 112 or something like that. I'm like, all right, good. They're still the underdog. And then by the time I looked at it again, I'm like, oh God, it's even money. All the people in the world are loading up on the Royals. And I don't know, for me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, like when the public starts to do that kind of stuff, it scares the living daylights.
Yeah, no, I think that's the right way to look at it, especially in the NFL more than MLB, you know, in the NFL, that is a huge tell. A lot of times where all of a sudden, if the public is heavy on one NFL game,
right.
That is usually the sign to kind of zig where they zag kind of thing.
Right.
For baseball, though, because it's such a different way to bet. I mean, now we're in postseason, but in the regular season, you know, you're playing 162 games. You can be a 100-win team. You're still losing 62 games. So that's what's fun about betting baseball in the regular season. So I don't know if I side with the public thought as much in baseball as fading it in the NFL. But what's interesting is today, you're right, they're underdogs today, and so it sounds like you like that. You're saying you kind of like them being the dog in the betting market today.
I do right now, right? I do like that, but I don't want to get, you know, to my car driving out to the game later on and look at the, you know, the line, and then I see it's even.
I don't think you have to worry about that
favorite,
today.
You know?
I don't think that is anything you'll have to worry about today. They're plus 130 right now at FanDuel.
Oh, it's plus 130 now.
And the Yankees are minus 154. Maybe it goes down to like plus 120. There's no way this thing gets down to even money before tonight. Gerrit Cole on the mound, a clincher. The public money will be on the Yankees tonight. What's interesting about betting now that we know it's potentially a deciding game four for the Yankees tonight, and the Royals are trying to force a game five, is why would you bet the Royals at plus 130 tonight? The reason why I say that is, if you think the Royals are winning tonight, why not just take a look at the series pricing and say, you know what? They get this to a game five Saturday in the Bronx, and that game, the Royals will be dogs again, but it'll probably be plus 140, plus 150. Right now, the Royals to win the series, plus 420, Yankees minus 560.
Oh, wow.
So if you think the Royals are winning tonight, some of you do, some of you think the season's over, whatever. Plus 420 is, to me, the bet I would rather make than the Royals plus 130 tonight to win, because if they win tonight, pressure is all back on New York Saturday night, and you're not getting anywhere near a 4-1 number for the Royals to win Saturday. So now if you just think the Royals are done and they're not winning, then obviously don't make the bet. But I'm just saying, if you believe they're winning tonight, why not put a money on the series pricing at for the Royals plus 420?
Plus 420. That's like with the Yankee. That's good. That's really good money.
That's not the number you're getting Saturday night if we get a game five. That's for sure.
That'll be the number I'll have on Saturday and Sunday, though.
I get it. Okay. You know, you're in Missouri. I get it. I see what you're doing there. Yeah. Thank you, Dusty.
Alex, I get it. Yeah. Thank you very much. So
recording finished.
Is that the only thing you're looking at for tonight's game?
Yeah. Well, I mean, gosh, we know what Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi unfortunately haven't done in this series. You know, and I think everybody's been waiting for that big moment. If you're just talking about now getting a couple of hits, I mean, Bobby's plus money to get two hits tonight because of where things stand currently right now for him in the series. Plus 175 is still interesting. Do we think the whole series is going to go without Bobby coming up with a couple of hits? Maybe you're at that point where you just think this is how it's going to be, but you can get him at plus 175. I don't think at any other point this year you could find him at plus 175 to get two hits in a baseball game.
Right.
An MVP type of season, you never could get that kind of value. A lot of this just depends on your optimism, Bob, of
right.
Do you think last night was it and now this team is done, or do you believe that this team of the last month has shown they've been able to bounce back from these tough spots? I mean, mm-hmm. That's all they've done the last month, 7-game losing streaks, and they were able to come together and figure it out. I tend to think they're winning tonight.
Right.
So I like a couple of the bets involving Bobby Witt Jr., and I also have a bet on them to win the series still at 4-1.
All right, so from a betting standpoint, why do you believe they're winning tonight? Because the Yankees are obviously going with their ace. He's a little rocky. Aaron Judge doesn't do anything in that lineup. And so, again, I think it's the first of three or four runs who wins this ball game.
Yeah, it's another tight game. I mean, it's not like – I think like people acting like the Royals got destroyed last night. It was a great baseball one-run game.
Yeah.
Stanton hits a homer. It was a ball that was outside the zone too. It's not like Bubich threw one right down the middle of the plate. That did not happen. A lot of it is what I saw from them against Gerrit Cole on Saturday. I know they ended up not winning that game, but they were aggressive against him. They were seeing Gerrit Cole well. Maybe you think he'll just be better tonight, and there's certainly a possibility, but I like what I saw in terms of the contact they were getting off of Gerrit Cole Saturday. So mm-hmm. I feel like they will get some good opportunities early on in the game. I think it does have to happen early, though, because if this thing, knowing just, you know, I think human nature, if it's the fifth or sixth inning and they're down 2-0 and they have one hit, then I think they're in trouble. But if they can be aggressive like they were on Saturday, that's what gives me confidence. Plus, it's all hands on deck. Be coming in the fifth inning tonight.
As he should. We were talking about that last night with some members of the front office I was having conversations with about, do you bring Ursaeg in here? They go, well, then who closes? I go, well, if you don't bring an Ursaeg here, right, you may not have that opportunity
for
to
sure
close. Yeah.
Well, I think Brady Singer coming in for one batter is the perfect example of maybe how they treat tonight. Like, even if you bring in guys, even one batter, you just love one matchup, you just, it's do or die. So, you know, I would expect we'll see, I don't know if it'll be Singer, but we'll see somebody come in just to face one batter. Or, you know, I know you can't, you have to face, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I know what you're saying. Yeah,
that's basically where I see it going.
Speaking of Saturday, I want to move on to college football.
Your team, it's your squad.
It's just a big Saturday for college football.
Fun Saturday. Yeah.
What, the Red River Shootout. You have my squad, Colorado, at home, 9:15 start.
That's late. So late.
No excuses. Late. No Chiefs game to get ready for Sunday.
Right. What time do the Royals play on Saturday?
It'd be like six or seven.
So right after probably the Royals win, and then you roll into
Okay. And then it's Coach Prime versus K-State. There are 4-point dogs at home against K-State. Do you believe no?
So I think Shedeur Sanders is putting up big time yardage on Kansas State. I guess, so if you're looking at props, mm-hmm. you'll take a look at maybe the over under passing yards for Sanders in this one. So here's why. So Kansas State, they've given up 342 yards to Tulane, the quarterback that I think more and more people will start talking about. He looked really good. Mm-hmm. 268 to Arizona, 149 to BYU. You're like, okay, well then what's the problem with that? But that's because BYU only threw the ball 16 times. And then they gave up 364 through the air last week to 2 weeks ago, they were on a bye, to Oklahoma State. I know the Wildcats won. I'm just looking at a prop bet there for Shedeur Sanders. I mm-hmm. think they will be able to put up some yardage numbers. And then Kansas State has covered only one of their last seven on the road. Mm. So I do think Colorado covers. I don't know if they went outright, but Colorado plus 4.5 is still a number out there at some books. I think it is down to 4, Dusty, at some spots. But mm-hmm. And again, Colorado on the opposite. They've covered 6 out of their last 8 as an underdog.
Wow.
So the trends are in favor of Colorado, and I'll take the over on Shedeur Sanders passing yardage tonight.
A lot of good games. You mentioned the Red River. Is that an 11 a.m. game? And then you got
normally it is.
It's normally an early game.
I think they play
in
the Cherry Dome now, though. Is that right?
It's not at the Cotton Bowl.
It's not at the Cotton Bowl? I thought it still was at the Cotton Bowl.
I think it's in the Jerry Dome.
No, they didn't move into that thing, did they? No.
I'm pretty sure it's
because it's supposed to be on the state fairgrounds. If they move that thing to Jerry World, we're done.
We're done. I mean, we can
no,
find
it's Cotton Bowl. It's Cotton Bowl.
Okay, good. Thank you.
No,
so, okay,
it's
so they're still playing
stadium.
In the Cotton Bowl.
It's an afternoon game, by the way. It's at 2:35.
So it's prime time.
14.5 point.
That's what I'm saying.
14.5 points in favor. And look, Texas
so
looks every bit.
Oklahoma's a 14.5 point favorite.
And
wow.
Ewers is back.
Yeah, Ewers is back. Texas is the number one team now in, mm-hmm. you know, in the country. Mm-hmm. The hook, though, the half point is where I think you have to be really careful if you're betting Texas. So 14.5 points. All of a sudden, can they win by two touchdowns? I think a lot of people would sure. be like, sure, Texas is going to win by two touchdowns. But that hook, so it's worth buying the half point, in my opinion, if you're going to take Texas.
Okay, and then we close out the night, you mentioned, with K-State, but you also have Oregon and Ohio State, too. Oregon's
that's
wearing
your,
all
that's
black.
That's you, Bob. He's got Colorado. You're an Ohio State guy.
Right. Have you seen the uniforms Oregon's going to be wearing against my Buckeyes? Oh, my God. All black, matte, like black helmet.
This guy gets uniform horny.
Well, I'm a sucker for the matte helmets. I've told you.
Well, that's because he's my son. He's,
like,
you know.
I want the Chiefs to have the matte black helmets with the red outline arrowhead one day. I don't think it's ever happening, but that's my dream, you know, as we're talking about uniforms a little bit. No, I have not. I'll have to look that up for
Oregon. They look
Oregon.
Beautiful. UniWatch is where I saw the tweet. And Oregon, you know, we got some friends that are huge Oregon fans mm-hmm. that live out in Portland, so I've always kind of, you know, had an eye on them, you know, but this, I think this is a great matchup, man. This is what Big Ten football is all about. This is a historic Big Ten type of rivalry.
Yeah, this is definitely what I think of with Big Ten football,
yeah.
Bob.
Not Michigan.
Ohio State, Oregon, man. Definitely Big Ten football. Look, Ohio State's a 3.5 point favorite. Again, watch the hook here. That's always a little care. I don't like Oregon's rush defense at all, though. That concerns me a little bit. One, they, you know, maybe I'm biased because I saw a Heisman contender in Ashton Jeanty from Boise State, who he's running on everybody this year.
Yeah.
But Oregon's rush defense, I think, is a problem for them against Ohio State, who, of course, leans on the run. Mm-hmm. I like Ohio State as a favorite here to cover the 3.5. The total 52.5. You guys think we're in for a shootout? I think there's a chance this is a little bit lower scoring, and I'll go under 52.5 points. But Ohio State, I mean, for them, you take a look at the anytime touchdown market. Look at the top couple names that are there. Jordan James for Oregon is actually the best odds to get a touchdown in this game. Then Jeremiah Smith for Ohio State, -120. Quinshon Judkins, -105. And then Travion Henderson, +115. So Ohio State has three of the top four likely guys to get an anytime touchdown in this game on Saturday night.
You touching tonight's game at all? San Francisco versus Seattle.
So my interest, mainly just because of the Royals here locally, I just don't have much interest in the 49ers Niners game. For those wondering, the Niners are 3.5 point favorites. They're at Seattle. I think Seattle has shown they were fraudulent a couple weeks ago anyway. When they were undefeated, we were in here talking about them like, hey, great job, Mike McDonald, their head coach. But they had beat, the Patriots in overtime by a field goal. At that point, I think they had played the Broncos. Like, they just hadn't played anybody, and now they've gotten exposed. They just lost to your Giants as well. The only thing I would say, just if you're going to bet the game, San Francisco, they've won five straight. They've won by double digits in four of the last five games against Seattle. I know it's a new regime, but this is typically a spot where Seattle has gotten destroyed historically.
All right. Patrick Mahomes is a favorite again for the MVP.
Yeah. So he's a favorite. And guys, he's got, six touchdowns, six interceptions. Mm-hmm. Nobody's been all that impressive. And that's why he's the favorite, simply put. Like, the guys that are put up good numbers, some of them don't have the wins to actually be in the conversation. Like, Joe Burrow has put up great numbers. His team's 1-4.
Right.
So
right.
Nobody's taking him seriously. But Mahomes is +230. Right now to win MVP. CJ Stroud 6-1. Lamar Jackson +650. Josh Allen fell back to 9-1. He was the favorite 2 weeks ago when we were talking about this. And then Jaden Daniels, the rookie quarterback there with the Commanders, is 11-1. So I think you're banking on Mahomes, like, name recognition and the thought that they're just going to keep on winning games.
Right.
But the numbers just are not there for him to win. I would not touch +230 right now if you had Mahomes at a better number. But you don't have the stats to back it up. So right now, if I were to place a new bet on somebody, I already had a preseason Josh Allen bet. But if I had you gave me $100 to bet on someone new, Sam Darnold at 12-1. I know that's a name that people will laugh at, like, oh, come on, man. But if they keep winning, man, Mac, if they keep winning, and Kevin O'Connell's one of the better coaches in the league, Justin Jefferson, his numbers back it up. I mean, the qualifiers to win MVP, we've talked about this every year since it's been legal in Kansas, hopefully Missouri in next month.
Please. Help the
teachers. You got to win your division for starters. Like that, it starts there. So do you think the Vikings can win their division? Well, they're 5-0.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that's why Mahomes is still a favorite. They're going to win this division. You know, I'm not so sure that Lamar's going to win the division. We'll see, depending on your belief. So you got to go through the names. The Commanders, Jaden Daniels, 11-1. They're in first in the NFC East. Do you think they're actually winning the NFC East? Maybe.
I mean, not much competition there.
Agreed. So that's the first kind of benchmark you have to clear. And then from there, you got to have the stats to back it up.
The last one for you is the banger of a Monday night. It's Bob's Jets versus Max Bills. Jets head coach Jeff Ulbrich, I think his name is
Aaron Rodgers. I think actually.
announced.
I saw it was called Baron Lodgers as the head coach.
I like that.
The Jets announced their head coach announced Todd Downing will be the team's new play caller.
Oh, starting they did with, announce that.
Yeah,
oh.
Starting with Monday night's game against the Bills. The Bills are right now in some books 2.5, some books 3, some books 2. You like the Bills on the road in the Meadowlands?
Well, just look at how teams fare when they fire their coach.
Correct.
Even though, you know, you get a bump. You know, even though we discuss Aaron Rodgers actually running the show there. But here's the numbers to back some of this up. So 38 teams have fired their coach during the regular season since 03. Those teams are 17-21 outright. So they're below 500. They're 22-16, though, against the spread. Mm-hmm. So maybe not an outright win, but teams cover when their coach gets fired the prior week. Since 2003.
Yeah, you get a bump. I mean, the Chiefs got it with Romeo Crennel.
They beat the Packers.
Yeah, that's right. You see it all the time. It's a story as old as time. Fire the coach, win the next game. Everybody's excited, then they go
Take
back
the
to
Jets
who they
plus
are.
2.5 against Buffalo, who's lost 2 in a row.
Well, you got to have a quarterback to win a game, and the Jets don't have that.
But you want, you know, but this is what's great. You want Aaron Rodgers, just because all In the time, he's going to play his best game of the year
Monday night. Or is he going to go out there and tank it because his buddy's not calling plays anymore?
He can't hack it. What's your talent? yeah.
That's what I want to know, because Aaron Rodgers is a narcissist, and that means you do things that benefit you. And he loves
hacking. I don't think Bobby's ever done anything to suggest that that's true.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He loves him some Hackett. And so now he's upset that the play calling duties are away. I could see Aaron Rodgers having a 3-interception game again.
Ooh. We've got a little bit of time before we promote your show. What is your Halloween costume this year?
None. That's a great question. I do not have one currently.
Really?
That's a great question.
You got any ideas?
Do you have an idea for me?
No.
Oh.
But I mean, if we were like a couple, we could go as like a joint costume.
Well, we shared a microphone together a couple weeks ago.
Two guys, one mic.
Two guys, one mic.
You could go as Lieutenant Dan from the hurricane in Florida.
Is he dead?
He survived.
He did.
He's all over the world right now.
I saw the video.
Where is he? He's in Florida on his boat.
I didn't know if it whisked him away somewhere.
It's 20 miles north.
Yeah, like his boat survived. He survived. He's still one leg dude just out here just living. Jeez.
Yeah, well,
what do you got coming up on Cody Gold today?
Yeah, so we're obviously talking about the Royals being on the brink of elimination and kind of gauge everybody of where they're at and how confident they are in this thing actually happening. But I do want to talk more about also one thing that happens in the NFL right now. Every team seemingly like, oh my gosh, how are they going to overcome this injury and all that? It's what the Chiefs have done year after year. So we're going to talk a little bit more about how the Chiefs dynasty is even more impressive today than it was 2 weeks ago, because all these other teams' injuries and they're like, oh, they can't win with all this. This is what the Chiefs have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have Paul Charge you in a little fantasy football, get you set for week six. A
lot of injuries in fantasy football.
Ton.
A lot of injuries. Well, thanks for the time. I'll see you in about, 6 hours.
All right. Sounds good.
Enjoy the day, Alex. Enjoy the day. And don't forget, Alex will be out front at 2 o'clock passing out T-shirts to the first 7,000 people that show up.
You should see if Carrington will help you. Classic. Oh, man, where's Carrington? Tonight, Royals will go for the game-saving series win against the Yankees. We'll dive into more of that on the other side with Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, and maybe I'll stick around. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
It takes a lot to prepare for game day as a dedicated fan, and preparing the perfect tailgate meal might be most important of all. That's why Hellman's Real Mayonnaise is the MVP. Hellman's Mayonnaise is the secret to bring out the rich and creamy taste to all your game day dishes, from buffalo chicken dip to your favorite sub sandwich and everything in between. So give it a try, and mayo game day be delicious with Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Shop at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store, and add some extra deliciousness to your game day dishes this football season.
We're where you want to be. Baseball. ball with the Royals. If you want to be
having a great time,
you want to be
loving the fun,
you want to see all of the excitement, this is the place and we're the one. If you want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see, come on out and join us, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
If you want to see
the best of the big leagues,
you want to be
loving the day, come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays.
This is where it happens.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
That's right. And tonight they go for an elimination game. Backs against the wall. High tide. Big rips in the ocean of the Royals Caribbean. Lieutenant Dan survives Milton.
If that guy survived, the Royals are winning tonight.
That's right. When your odds are against you and you got one leg and a 20-foot boat, sometimes you can keep going.
You just told me in break, like, that guy lived.
No, he did not leave. Now he's like, now you know.
I said, where'd they find him? You're like, right there.
Who's going to get more money, him or the Ocean Spray guy that sang the Fleetwood Mac song?
I would imagine Lieutenant Dan's about to cash in. Like, somebody's got to get him going on something, right?
Something's coming his
way. If I can survive a hurricane, you can survive high insurance prices from the general.
Only two people I know survived a hurricane, him and Dexter Morgan.
And then the other Lieutenant Dan on Forrest Gump.
Gary
Sinise.
Yeah.
That was a movie.
And he was up in the crow's nest.
Yeah. A movie based on a true story, but nevertheless a movie. This
Weird that he had a titanium leg. And then was in Apollo 13, and the metal they built his leg out of is the same metal they built the spaceship out of.
Is it really?
Yeah, if you look up like the little ins and outs of like movies, pretty interesting.
Oh, that's cool.
He goes, because if you remember the scene where it's like, it's the greatest scene in Forrest Gump, where they're standing there and they just look at each other for like 30 seconds and they just know how much stuff they've gone through. And then he's like, Lieutenant Dan, you got legs. Yeah. He's like, yeah, titanium alloy. They build these with the spaceships, Forrest.
Yeah.
It's interesting because then he's they're both obviously in Apollo 13, another great movie. We had a good guest on today giving us good knowledge, which was Marlins Man at 7:45.
Right.
And you can have your opinion about people, but when they give you facts and it might be heavily biased because he had a Royals orange jersey on, but he gave us this information about the umpires and balls and strikes.
Tell me how many balls he had.
Four. Two.
Right?
Whoa! I did not know that's how the cut started. We've had two cuts today. Recording finished, and this is where this one starts.
Tell me how many balls he had.
I mean,
two.
Tell me how many balls he had. Four, right?
Yeah.
How many of those were strikes in the computer?
All of them.
All of them.
All of them.
Every single one of those was a strike.
Yeah. Every single one was in the box.
Okay. This is not me making it up.
Right.
Okay. This is proof, Your Honor, proof that my client's being abused by the umpires. You're not playing the Yankees.
Right.
Here's the sentence for today. You're playing the umpires.
No question.
Marlins Man is going public and saying, I'm going to prove it to you. What? What are you talking about? Here we go, Kansas City. First pitch, strike. What did he call?
Which inning are we in? The first inning?
It's the whole game.
All right.
I just happened to pick that one to show you that when Stanton got his double and knocked in a run, he should have had a double with nobody on. Okay? So let's look right here. Ball. It's a strike. Ball. It's a strike. Ball. It's a strike. He should have been out. What does he do? He gets another one. All four pitches. Okay, now let's go to the next batter. What do you see? You see two balls, but wait a minute. They're all strikes in the corners.
Yeah.
That's six balls called on the Royals that were six strikes. Tell me how many balls he had.
Two.
I like how he says balls.
Tell me how many balls he had.
Yeah.
Balls. Now, thank you very much for coming to the studio and explaining that to us. Look. I know the text line and people have said on X and comments, it seems the Yankees are more patient than the Royals. Because they can be.
They can be. They're getting the calls, yeah.
And I'm not going to be that guy blaming the umps.
No, you got to make take the umps out of the equation.
But there is, at times, it merits statistical proof. And statistical...
Hey, if you want to come...
Tell me how many balls.
It just doesn't matter. Tonight, though, I'm telling you, because I'm on record, and we can play this if I win or if I lose.
I told you all on September, whatever it was, 9th, that the Royals would 100% be in the playoffs.
I'm telling you today, on October 10th, 2024, the Royals will win tonight. The Royals will win tonight. When their backs are against the wall and everybody doubts them, they had 2 7-game losing streaks. No one thought they were going to make the playoffs. No one thought they were going to be relevant come the end of July. They were relevant at the end of July. They made the playoffs. They beat the Baltimore Orioles. They're now playing in Game 4 against the New York Yankees in Kauffman Stadium to force a Game 5. You force a Game 5, I'm not bold enough yet to say they can win the entire series. I think they will still, but I'm not 100% confident on that. I am 100% confident they
Who
win tonight.
Who pitches for the Yankees in Game 5? You think they go Rendon. Back to... You think
everybody, gonna, yeah. I guess, if I want to be... And then every Bobby will pitch for the Royals because every Bobby will be available and everybody on the roster will be everybody available.
Right.
So,
but if you're the Royals, is everybody available tonight?
Like, yes, it's an elimination game.
I think you have to,
and you
right?
have a day off Friday.
Right.
I the think only you have guy I could see that might not be available is
Lugo.
Lugo. Because he pitched last night.
Pitched last night, yeah.
And, I mean, in all honesty, you can go out there and throw Urseg for the first two innings and then let... Walker go, which you're not going to. Walker will get the start tonight against Garrett Cole. But look, the last time they played Garrett Cole.
And I wouldn't do that. I like the way you're thinking, though. I do a lot, but you still go with Walker. He's been there all year for you, you know?
Right. And there's, I will say this, and that's what I'm saying from the 9-3. They won't win unless they quit walking people. It's kind of out of their control. Because they called a strike on Bobby Witt Jr. last night in the first inning. It was not a strike. And then they started calling balls on the Yankees that were not balls. They were strikes. So, again, yes, they are not throwing strikes according to the statistics. But not all those balls they're throwing are not strikes. That's what we're trying to explain to you, 913. But, again, I like Walker in this situation. He's been here. He's faced multiple powerful lineups pitching in San Diego, pitching in St. Louis. He's been in plenty of playoff games. He's your vet. When you go back and look at the free agency in the beginning of the season, that's why they went and got this guy to pair him with Lugo, to pair him with Reagans. And when they got Lugo, Lugo has said, he called Walker. It was like, check it out. Come out here and check this place out. You'll love it. You'll like this team. I think you'll like this organization. And Walker came over. Walker's got to pick up Lugo tonight.
Yep.
And Lugo wasn't even that terrible. They still
Lugo was good last night. Yeah.
He still stranded 11 runners.
Yeah. Lugo was good last night, man. The pitching's been great. Everything's been good in this series. This has been a baseball series. If you're a baseball savant and you just want to watch good baseball, this has been a great series for that, right? There's been blowouts in other series. There's been blowouts, you know, in the postseason. But in this series, every game's been close, every game's been a nail biter, and it shows the Royals are this close to being an everyday contender with one of the better teams in all of baseball. Like the Royals played better in this series and are playing better in this series against the Yankees than the Phillies did against the wild card Mets, right? The Phillies were supposed to be the end all be all and win this whole damn thing. And they're eliminated. The wild card Mets beat them. The Royals are playing really, really, really good baseball right now. And you know what? Sometimes you just don't get the breaks. They don't go your way. Sometimes they do. Tonight may be the night where the breaks all go the way of the Royals. You know, if everybody's complaining about the umpires, you know Major League Baseball is going to get in the ear of the umpire and go, clean it up a little bit. People are starting to talk.
From the 913, how many balls can Dusty fit in his mouth? I don't know. Not my thing. How about you? What say you? How many can you fit? We can do an open forum here.
The only batter that I'm really concerned about tonight against Walker is Juan Soto. 429 hitter against him, but only 3-for-7. Alex Verdugo, he hits 308 against Walker, 4-for-13. But you know what? In his career against this lineup, These guys are hitting 155 off of Michael Wacha. I like our chances tonight.
What's Stanton? He was the star last night.
He is 8-for-14 with two doubles, okay, a homer, a couple driven in, a walk, and four strikeouts, a .222 average against Michael Wacha. But will Stanton be out there with that magical machine that he had yesterday, where he gave credit to this machine for being able to hit the ball the way that he did yesterday?
I don't know. I think the Royals win tonight.
Aaron Judge is 1-for-20 against Michael Wacha with 12 strikeouts.
Aaron Judge is 1-for-20 in this series.
Yeah, you talk about Vinny not being in the lineup. How about the Yankees not putting Aaron Judge in the lineup? You think they'd ever do something like that?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I wonder if the Yankees would do that. He's 1-for-20 against Wacha.
I don't know. I just know the Royals are going to win tonight. Believe it. Feel it in your plums. Also, go do nice things for people out there. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. People are mean to me, but I'll be kind to you. It's simply cool to care. Stay safe, Kansas City, and stay kind. Love you. Take care. See you at the K tonight in right field. Cody and Gold next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.